Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Well, Emily. The sermon for today, the fifth Sunday in Lent, commonly called Passion Sunday. Whom shall you say that I am? Was written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. He first gave us Passion Sunday, March 29, 1998. During my last year in seminary, I bought a used copy of a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. I don't remember how much I really knew or cared about C.S. Lewis then. I had at least heard of him through my wife, who had made me aware of his writings about medieval literature and his series of children's books. I took Mere Christianity home and devoured it, and I remember that my first reaction was, why didn't somebody hand me this book the day I entered seminary? I still do not know of a clearer or more direct presentation of the essentials of Christian belief. You don't need to be in seminary to understand it. In fact, not being in seminary probably helps. One of the most memorable sections comes when C.S. Lewis lays out the same issue that this morning's gospel presents. His argument goes something like this. Based on what Jesus says about himself in the New Testament, we're left with only three choices. Either he is the devil, the father of lies, or he is crazy on the level of a man who claims that he is a poached egg, or he is exactly what he claims to be. If he is who and what he says he is, then everything about him is of infinite and eternal importance. If he is a liar or a madman, then he and the church he founded represent the most successful con game ever perpetrated. In today's gospel, Jesus claims that he is God, not so much subtly or in any direct fashion as baldly and absolutely in your face. Many New Testament scholars deny that he ever said any such thing. They say what we hear in St. John's Gospel is part of the deceptive process by which a peace-loving, gentle, wandering first-century rabbi was made into a deity by his superstitious and paranoid followers. But the Jesus of the Scriptures is the Jesus whom the Church worships. We don't have available to us some other more rational, less supernatural Jesus. Again, we are denied a safe middle ground position. Liar, madman, or God are the only three choices he gives us. The action in today's lesson is the end of an especially nasty exchange between Jesus and some of his Jewish opponents. The gentle, accommodating Jesus that many people hope to find in the New Testament is notably absent from this story. Jesus is argumentative and confrontational, and he baits his opponents into greater and greater levels of antagonism. They call him a devil and cast doubts upon the legitimacy of his birth. He tells these people who have made religion their profession that they don't have a clue to who God really is, and that every time they claim to know anything about God, they are trapping themselves in a stickier web of lies. They ask him in turn, you say if people pay attention to you, they will never die. Who do you think you are? All of the greatest heroes of our religion are dead. The prophets and Abraham. Do you think you are greater than they were? Jesus, knowing full well that Abraham lived about 2,000 years before the first century, replies provocatively, Abraham was the happiest man in the world the day he met me. The crowd takes the bait and says, you aren't even 50. How can you dare say you met Abraham? Jesus closes the argument off by saying, I am telling you the truth. Before Abraham was, I am. He escapes a crowd which is ready to beat his brains out with rocks. Later on, after he says, I and the Father are one, the crowd takes up stones a second time. Jesus is rather condescending to them again. He says, I have done quite a few good works among you. For which of those good works do you want to kill me? The crowd responds, We don't want to kill you for your good works. We'll give you the proper punishment for your blasphemy. You, our only a man, have tried to make yourself into God. Now being a man, makest thyself God. The proper punishment for blasphemy under Hebrew law was stoning. Blasphemy was a capital crime. There is no doubt at all that Jesus was formally guilty of that crime. He uttered God's name, I am, Yahweh. He applied the name to himself, and he said that he and the Father were one, the same. The passion of Jesus, his suffering and death, was not a mistake. On Good Friday, the Jews in the crowd who hate Jesus will tell Pontius Pilate, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. The crowd may have thought he was both a liar and a madman, but they had no doubt about what he was claiming, and they didn't try to pass his claims off without responding to them. The claims he made before the crowds in Jerusalem in the first century are the same claims he makes before us now. Before Abraham was, I am. If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. And so he asks us exactly what he asked his disciples. What do you think about me? Whom say ye that I am? And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.